there's no point in it. I think there's a lot of truth to that. So getting into promotion, I think, is a really valid part. I'd like to segue, if we could. Radio is one way we're getting our music out there. We're also getting it out there playing, you know, at the job, just one-on-one or whatever, whoever's at the job. Television is another one. It's a broader audience. And I think it's equally valid for the gospel artist. It's a different can of worms, as far, in my opinion, as far as presentation. How do you present yourself on television? So I think Tommy Lewis has had as much experience as anyone I know within that world, from both sides, as out in front of the camera and behind the camera. So to me, from a perspective standpoint, he gives you something very few people can give you, is a really good round look at it. So I would like to let Tommy kind of discuss television and how you should present your music if given the opportunity. I believe in TV. Boy, that's much easier than driving down that road. So I'm all for it, but now looking good in front of the camera, I guess God blesses some of us more than others. I don't know. So maybe Tommy can help us know how to take some of the rough edges off what God gave us. Yep.
Well, I hope I can do justice to this. One of the things that as I listen to all of this, I'm in a kind of a quagmire, because I did Nashville Gospel for 35 years. I also worked as a cameraman in studio, and we are in the process of making the transition from mainline television to the internet. But your visual presentation is important, but I have a problem so many times when I meet an artist or whatever, and they'll say, well, my company spent $40,000 or $50,000. In my opinion, you don't have to spend that kind of money. The kind of thing that I've seen over the years was that, as was stated earlier, artists has the opportunity of improving their craft as they move through. But it's going to be incumbent upon you to decide. I don't think that you should do music videos with all of the transitional things, unless you go to a station and you lay down your songs and someone at that station really can see your vision and come to you and say, look, let's do a video. And that video isn't going to cost you any money. I mean, you paid for the initial time it took for you to do what you had to do, but there's something about one of the songs or that has touched someone's heart, and they can see beyond your concept of where it can go. And that there's nothing, you know, first impression is so important. But I worked at a time when I'd seen black gospel, Christian artists, white, whatever, they would come, and they were just awful. And I think that over the course of some time, they really took a look at where they were and tried to make a decision upon how serious am I about this ministry. And the next time they come, the presentation was so much better. We have to come to a point where that we can take critical statements about where we are. It's not always a put down. It can actually be a motivator to say to you that you have a product that's really good. But I tell groups in this immediate area who come is that decide upon where you want to be in your ministry. It's so important, because you have a lot of weekend warriors. You have they're not necessarily weekend warriors, but they work kind of consistently, but they hold down other jobs. And our ultimate goal is that the Lord will provide us a way and a means to be able to make this ministry our livelihood as well. But sometimes I think the money gets in the way of what the Lord has in store for you. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to be slapped down a few times before we realize that He really is in control. What I find, with the radio program or the television ministry, and I try to combine all of those if you're a fortunate to be in a situation where, if you do both radio and television, the interviews and things that you do for one can be used in the other. And that's where we are at this point in our ministry. But buy you some time and go in prepared to lay down 10 songs. And I don't know if, for those of you who were in the taping sessions last night, if you noticed, where there were mistakes, we didn't go back and try to write them then. We just went on through, and then at the end, we went back and made the correction so that the presentation is going to be good. You have to do the same kind of thing. Just because you missed a note here or there, you need someone who's going to keep a little record saying that on song number four, this. Just go on and lay down your stuff. And then those areas are the ones you need to work. Then you work on those. But if you don't try and make your presentation so elaborate, sometimes the most simple presentation are the ones who really get to the heart of the people. And the other thing, too, is that I don't own a radio station. And I don't own a television station. I buy the time that I need to do what I do. So it's important that when you send something to me, it needs to come to me. And if it goes to the station, you need to make it very, very clear that it's not the station to keep. Because if you don't, you have people, they're getting thousands of things in. And some of them have a little box on the side. They just dump it in there. And that's unfortunate for us because we work very, very hard at what we do. And whether it's in Middle Tennessee, whether it's in the Carolinas, if you're in Detroit, if you're in Texas, there's always something in our ministry that will transcend all of those areas. And so many times it is the one thing that you thought was not going to be such a good thing. I can't ever get the song out of my mind, "I'm at my strongest when I'm down on my knees." And Michael and them, I heard that song, what is it, 3 years ago? Well, we were actually in this hotel and convention when I first heard it. And it just sticks in my mind. Well, I play that. I'm like Tommy. I control what I play. And I am 69 years old, so I'm not taking anything away from people who are into the internet and all this, but I'm slow. If you look at my flip-top phone, there's no camera on it yet, you know? But I'm going to get there, but I promise you, if I get your product, I'm going to listen to it, I'm going to look at it, and there's got to be something. It may not be, even be the song that you're pushing, but there's got to be something on that project that I'm going to find that will, that I'll play. Cameras and things are so much better technically now. They don't need a lot of light, and you can get some wonderful pictures and things. But you have to be prepared. Now, I tell all of my black brothers and sisters that what happens here is this. Let's take the Dixie Travelers, who sang last night. They've been in existence for over 50 years. They decided 2 years ago that they no longer were going to do what we call our annual day, our anniversary. They've decided that they've done all of that for so many years. And what they do, you prepare for that. You start saving or raising money to bring in your friends, or hopefully you've got friends who will come and do something for you because you've done it for them. But they may spend $5,000 or $6,000 just for one day. And so I'm saying to them, take a look at what you're doing. Would it be more advantageous for you to take that $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, whatever the case may be, and go into studio and do a project where you can take your time with it? I don't always think that, I listen to a lot of artists and they say, well, it took us 6 years to do this project. What's going on? 6 years? Now, the Lord may work in that time, but normally he's much faster than that. So all I'm saying is that we have the situation we're in that I find you want to build a coalition of people that can see your vision. Because if you have people who are not willing to work with you on the basis of that they can see what the Lord is doing with you, those people can be detrimental to your progress. So you really want to do that. And that doesn't always come easy. It doesn't always come easy. But when people can see what it is that you're interested in. Now, I want to bear off one little thing that some of you might want to do, and I'm saying this to people. And I don't have a project at this point, but I'm going to have one. If I want my project played in Carolina, I'm going to find somebody, or I'm going to find out how much the airtime costs. I may be able to buy 12 weeks of 10 minutes of time that I put together myself for my new project to be played that many weeks, hopefully at a certain time. Now, this is, I'm not talking about paying the DJ. Now, if the DJ or the announcer or the radio angel is buying time and you want to help them stay on the air ways, then you certainly could buy 10 minutes of time, and you put together your 10 minutes. In 10 minutes' time, you can play a complete song, and you can play snippets of maybe three or four or more. And you've got a compact situation. And everybody now, I don't care how big or how small the stations are, radio or even television, it's all about the dollar. And that's so unfortunate because so many of the announcers and all that are tied directly into the station have to play, go by these playlists. But when you are fortunate enough to be able to control that yourself, then all these other avenues will open up to you.
Good material right there. Yeah. Do we have any comments before we move on? The part I really resounded with me that Tommy was talking about was the importance of humility. Because I think when you were kind of referencing about pride factor, you know, it's hard because it's almost a double-edged sword because you need to be proud of your work and you want to do good work and, you know, be proud of it. But I don't think that leads us to want to be prideful. I bet everybody in this room, God has taught us, I know he's taught me many lessons about pride. And it's a reminder that we probably need. I think having your friends around you is good because they tend to be grounding. They'll ground you. That's why I love a group who's done this particular show for decades. You know, that's really a grounding thing for that group, whether they knew it or not. Those people knew them when. And it's important to have that in your life. This business is not about reality. And if you get the further up you get, you'll really learn that. I mean, it's pretty out there, and you need something to keep you on earth. That'll lead into Brian Unger, because the area that we have not discussed yet, which is one I think is a reality, as Brother Gardner was mentioning, is the, I don't want to say subscription radio, because that's a kind of a separate topic, which I myself am very excited about, which that one really makes good sense to me, because you own your own format. And for a group, something like Christian Country, which has an identity crisis, that makes a lot of sense. But the thing that Solid Gospel, that type of subscription, is another way of kind of controlling what goes out there. And they're real. I mean, it's amazing. I look at our mailing list of the stations we mail to. I mean, we typically will drop them when they go to Solid Gospel because Solid Gospel controls what's played on that station. They have really taken a big market share. And there again, like it or not like it, you got to acknowledge this is a reality. So the nice thing Brian Unger brings is he has had 25 years in radio, but also not just in gospel music. He has seen how some of the other formats do it. We tend to be very closed in gospel, and that's one of our major weaknesses. We don't look too well beyond our little world. Speaking about comp disc that Shelton asked, I think that's a legitimate question. And I would, if you're doing something, I call them feel-good charts. Those, I have to tell you, I don't have any to gain or lose from those. Beyond making you feel good, I really have to question that as a place to put your money. So, but if it keeps you going, I don't know. I don't know if it qualifies for going to a spa or something. I don't know. You tell me. It has to be some reason you do what you do. I know what it costs to get them out there. And I think anything above that, I would question. That's my two cents on the compilation part of things.
When they get to the stations, How much attention the compilation CD really received?
If the compilation, there are some, and I agree with what John said. First of all, the charts, and I work one of them, and I've tried hard to make the chart a very for the artist real, the real deal. I have found it's almost impossible. It's just the nature of our industry that's I have a real problem with. There are good compilation companies, and those that you will just spend a ton of money with. But some of those you spend a ton of money with, you're also buying the promotion packets with them. In his field, you don't get with a compilation company for peanuts. The really good ones are cost a lot of money. You need to research it. There are some that can really get things done for you. All of it's tied in with some of the things I said here. There is a... And to some extent, in all reality, like any business, a buying your way in. If you get there and you're just not the material, it's not going to work anyway. It won't be very long. But if you're just great, you know, just the right package, or God just put his anointing on you, then those things help you get there. But you have to be very careful, because you can go on a compilation for $300. And sometimes those, no promotion, you smell out, you'll get your airplane. And then you can... as a lot of us here have been used to, you know, getting the $1,500 up range. And if the guy's made a lot of enemies, you're not going to get the airplane either. So you just got to research. I like seeing, I like people seeing their CDs. It's very expensive, though, today. Yeah. And a compilation makes it an inexpensive way, but you, there's good ones out there. I like John because he has an actual record company. And he's basically got a compilation because he sends me 10 or 12 artists. But these artists are working with him on a, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I understand it, working with him on a sale type basis of their product. And you have to be very careful with that, because I have tried that. Some artists, you work with them, spend some money, and they just don't go out and work. But if you get the good artists that work sincere, then he's got the right idea. We need more of that in there. But I think, I know they play a lot of compilations. You can get compilations in from Rick Hendricks and people like that. Rick Hendricks can make them. He can. But he can't make everybody. There's always going to be that percentage that doesn't get there.
One thing Shelton had mentioned, we were talking earlier, he does instrumentals.
Yeah.
So as we were talking about the song, that's a great point that you make. You know, if it's something they're not going to play, I'd say there's no point put it out there.
Exactly.
The instrumentals, as you know, or in our lifetime, at one time, instrumentals were very popular as lead-ins to the news. I'm sure you remember that.
Well, they still are. MJ Hengel or whatever.
And great singles. Internet's changing that, too. We have time to play instrumentals in the internet.
Well, I'm glad to see that, because I'm looking back 40, 50 years ago when the instrumentals were programmed just like the vocals were,
right.
And you had major artists, and particularly instrumental artists. Nowadays, it's almost a,
a lot of times they'll use it as background music for community announcements or whatever.
Exactly.
And that's sometimes on my program, I have a Sunday, I'm only on an hour, but I'll have all just instrumental music. The program, and what I do is, I try to talk a little bit about the artists, and I try to encourage people that the artists need the support. You know, don't take this and make copies of it and give it to your friends. You know, go out and buy it.
But you're a rarity, Tommy.
Well, but what happens, I think, that we all have to come to a conclusion. For the simple fact, as I'm saying again, in my situation, the station doesn't control what I play. So that in itself makes a difference. A lot of other people may not be that fortunate. But I think that we have a real opportunity, and I'm working. I'm one of those slow people, even about my USGM. I'm logged on. I haven't done anything with it. But I'm excited about the radio end of that, the radio station. We talked about it, and I'm hoping we can get that up and running, Wayne, that your music is going to be out there. And that's another entity. You know, I mean, I when my little six-year-old grandson, daughter can get on the computer and call up there. They have their own code. They call up their games and things. And I am, I'm saying, Dominique, would you go and pull down my email for me? Now, I do that out of laziness on that part of it, but when you get into the Googling and all this kind of stuff, I just want to, in my opinion, I don't have time for it at this point. But somewhere along the way, I realize how important it is. But at the radio station where I am, they play the CDs, they play from the, what is that thing called, the wheel, the what they call down the music from the internet or whatever. And yeah, and I think another thing about that, and I think you made a good point, is that sometimes the volume on our products, they're low, and they do need balancing, and you don't sometimes realize that until you're at home, if you happen to get a copy of your program that you do, and you listen, and you say, oh, what happened here? So you need to make sure, or you need somebody on the board that's going to realize that and create and make that balance that's needed there.
It's hard to compete because in a lot of ways it is a competition trying to get airplay. If we're sending something, we're competing with against, say, a Randy Travis, who's the major mainstream. Randy Travis decides to attack Christian country. He's got a song that fits. Hey, man, his record sounds good, and he's spent maybe for that one song, you know, maybe $4,000 or $5,000. The Christian country artist might have spent $600 or $700. So you're trying to compete, but got to do it because in reality, I mean, either it'll play him or you. So I think you've got to use every angle you've got. One angle I like is you're a Christian artist, and you can appeal to the DJ, just like one of the panelists said. These Christian DJs are a special breed. Underneath it all, they're doing this for the Lord, and I firmly believe that. You need to appeal to that. Say, hey, look, I'm out here. I'm not making a lot of money doing this. I think the request is legitimate. I've told people many times about Bill Monroe, who's a bluegrass guy. Bill Monroe didn't want to hear much about country music. He was about bluegrass. He was a smart man, and I firmly agree with that mentality. You need to sell your product. We don't need to sell Randy. He doesn't need our help. Let's boost each other. The other one that I love that Tommy mentioned, I can't remember which commandment it is, thou shalt not steal. Which one is that? That's one of the 10.
Yes.
It's one of the top 5, I believe, isn't it? Let's remember that as far as our Christian brothers and sisters. For sure, it hurts a lot worse when it's coming from somebody who's your brother or sister. I want to get to Brian Unger just for a moment, and let's hold our questions, and we'll kind of tie this in with Brian, mainly because this is a man who has been on the battlefield of radio in a lot of different areas.